ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event.
Welcome to the Championship Rounds, the boxing news podcast where we ask questions, listen to the answers, and crown a king. My name is Matt Christie, and I'm pleased to be joined by four of my colleagues. To my left, I've got managing editor Daniel Herbert, the two-time Championship Rounds king. You haven't won it for a while, though, Dan. Have you been taking the competition a bit lightly?
Yeah, I would contest those results, but in the spirit of the competition, yeah, I'll try again when I'm free this week.
Okay. Nick Bond, art editor, and a man hungry for the title. You feeling lucky today? Are you, punk?
I had a sniff of success.
You're in the second week, you got to the final.
I got to the final, yeah, so I want to go one step further than that. Thank you.
No worries. We've got John Denon, amateur editor. Now, you're up in Liverpool at the weekend and you stayed in a castle. How was it?
Secure, which is the most important thing.
Right. You mentioned earlier the rooms were not quite as good as you hoped.
No, it looked very nice from the outside.
You weren't in a dungeon, were you?
Well, it was a bit, you know, I've stayed in scarier places in Liverpool.
Which brings us to Dangerous Dave Parton, on-off intern. Currently in his third stint at Boxing News, and a testament to his dedication is the fact that he's now living in a hostel. Dave, tell us, how's that treating you, mate?
Well, you know, it could be worse. I'm not one to complain, so...
You're not. We do know that. We're very grateful. Okay, right, this weekend, members of the Boxing News team will be up in Liverpool for the first ever BN Fight Club. Joining them will be the likes of Tony Bellew, Paul Smith, Tom Storkin, Tasha Jonas, Paul Edwards, Shane Neary, Frank Maloney and more. It all starts at 7 p.m. That's this Friday, October 12th, at the Grand Old Adelphi Hotel in Liverpool. Anybody that's been there or knows Liverpool will know what a special place that is. There's still a few tickets left, as far as I'm told. Call 0207 618 3461. That's 0207 618 3461. Alternatively, go to boxingnewsonline.com/fightclub. That's boxingnewsonline.net/fightclub for more information. Okay, let's get going with the championship rounds. It's five questions. Is it five or is it four?
Four.
Right. So there's 12 points up for grabs, three points.
Four-rounder.
Okay, yeah, four-rounder. Right. The latest prize fight, as we just mentioned, has just been held at the grand old venue that is the Olympia in Liverpool. It was a great night's worth of boxing, which John Denon will go into some detail in this week's boxing news. But what would be your fantasy prize fighter lineup? Now you can choose fighters past and present. And where would the venue be? And who would win? We'll start with Dan.
Well, I go for a prize fight at £135, the lightweight limits. Would be at Madison Square Garden. You'll understand why I'm going to give this lineup. Roberto Duran, Henry Armstrong, Alexis Arguello, Manny Pacquiao, Aaron Pryor, Sr., Diego Corrales, Bo Jack, and Lou Jenkins.
Whoa.
That's an exciting lineup. If any one of those fights isn't exciting, then you can come back and demand the money from me and I'll refund you the entrance fee for that.
Who are you picking? Who's going to win?
I pick Roberto Duran.
Yeah.
Without doubt. You might think Henry Armstrong, but he's the sort of guy who gets cut in every fight. You get a bloody nose or you get a cut lip or something and be bleeding all over the place. So I go for Duran to win. He can do any style Duran, you know, box, fight, slug, whatever.
Who would he be?
Depends on the draw, doesn't it? Could be Aaron Pryor, maybe. If Armstrong, you know, got cut up in the semis or something, then
who would be Aaron
Pryor? Strange, I mean, in a way, any one of the lineup could beat Arguello in a three rounder. We're talking about three round fights. I mean, Arguello could be a slow starter, and somebody like even Manny Pacquiao might outwork him, but win the first two rounds. No, Aguero would have to knock him out in the third round to win, and he wouldn't do that, so... Aguero's style would probably be wrong to win the prize fight over three rounds.
I'd like to see that one.
Yeah, well, Dan, I can tell you've been in training, you really want this title. That's a cracking
start. Yeah, I'm really up for it this week. Up for it.
Nick?
mine would be my favourite division, middleweights.
Yeah.
Now, I would pick four boxers from two different eras. My first quartet would feature Stanley Ketchell.
Nice.
Les Darcy. Harry Greb and Mickey Walker.
Yeah.
Be the one side of the draw. And the second side would be Rocky Graziano, Tony Zale, Sugar Ray Robinson, and Charlie Burley.
Interesting.
So it would be at Madison Square Garden also.
Yeah. In the old Madison Square Garden. Yeah.
And I would pick Harry Greb to come through the early days.
Yeah.
And he'd meet Robinson in the final, and it would be a classic. Trust me.
And who would win?
Greb, yeah.
Greb would beat Robinson in the final.
Yeah. Be a close fight, obviously.
Yeah.
But every fight would be a great fight, like Dan's.
It's another quality.
Stanley Ketchell was just a legend, so.
It's another quality lineup.
Thank you,
Matt. Okay, John?
I would have the Four Kings, so Hagler Hearns, Duran and Leonard's. Throwing Roy Jones, James Toney, a couple of modern guys in there, Andre Ward and Joe Calzaghe, throw them into the mix.
What weight are we talking for this?
I think if it's a middleweight prize fighter, isn't that a little bit, the weight limit's actually a little bit heavier than middleweight, so whatever that is.
It's a good one.
It's a good one, mate.
It's a good one. Who are you picking?
I think Hagler has proven that he's quite good over three rounds, so.
Where would it be?
I hadn't actually thought of that, but I think it would have to be somewhere pretty far out since such a good event. So,
what you think?
Have it in the Congo, like the Rumble in the Jungle.
Yeah? So, yeah.
It's the Congo now, mate. DCR.
Mm-hmm.
Bit dangerous. Probably not the best location.
It wasn't really Rumble in the Jungle.
That was a football stadium, wasn't it? No. National Stadium.
So, that's interesting. Interesting one. Do you think Duran's at a bit of a disadvantage, being that it's more natural weight class for the rest of them?
Yeah, but you know, he's a beast and it's only three rounds. We saw two super featherweights in the final of the latest prize fight.
Dave?
Mine would be a 2005 light welterweight prize fighter. You'd have Ricky Hatton.
Yeah.
Costa Zoo.
Oh yeah.
Obviously. A classic fight there. A Toro guy, Floyd Mayweather.
It's good.
Another fight that happened in that year. Miguel Cotto. He'd feature. I'd have Zab Judah in there as well. Then always in prize fighter you get a couple who don't look like they'll do anything and might shock the system. So I'll throw Paulie Malignaggi in there. He always has a lot to say for himself. And who else? Throw someone like Junior Whitter in there.
you can't ever so well until those last two names.
He always has a. People always say Hatton avoided him and he didn't get all these big fights, so he'd had nothing to complain about if he was in that lineup.
True.
So yeah, all five light welters.
Where would your dream venue be for that?
Again, like Johnny, I hadn't thought of that. So I'll say. I don't know. I'll just go MGM because Floyd's always based
why
there,
not?
Isn't
he? Why not? Yeah. And are you picking who's going to win?
Probably Mayweather.
You reckon? Who's he going to beat in the final?
It's a tough one, but I'd say Cotto in the final.
What do you make of that? What do you make of that selection, Nick?
It's a great lineup, Dave, and you've done well there. I think Costa Zoo would be there or thereabouts, to be honest, mate.
Well, he was a former great amateur, so the three rounds.
And he was a great welterweight, you know.
Yeah, we're talking Costa.
Costa, yeah.
In all five, though.
Oh, no.
He diminished a bit.
This is true. But over three rounds. Over three rounds, he was still.
Yeah, he was still an animal, wasn't he?
Exactly.
Oh, yes.
You
know what, then. Okay, some really, really good answers there, guys. Right, moving on. Keeping the theme in Liverpool, and we had a prize fighter there last weekend. This weekend we've got British heavyweight title clash between the champion David Price, and the challenger Audley Harrison, who gets yet another chance to impress in a high-profile encounter. Name someone in boxing who has had even more chances than Audley. And Nick, we'll start with you.
The obvious choice is Chisora. He's had a lot of big fights and not won any, has he? He keeps getting chance after chance, and I'm sure he'll get more chances in the future. So he would be my pick, Matt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think he's deserved any of those chances that he's got, Chisora?
Honestly, no, but it just shows that there isn't really the depth in talent in the division. He sells a fight as well, doesn't he?
He does sell a fight, yeah. He does, as Audley does.
Yeah. So Audley against Chisora tonight.
Why not? Why not? Are you picking? Are you picking?
A double disqualification. The negativity.
Okay, John.
This is a hard question. Who has had more chances than Audley Harrison? Well, since I was at Prize Fighter, watching Derry Matthews get cut and lose, well, not lose on cuts, but get cut and later lose, he's at the forefront of my mind. So I suppose he's had a lot of losses, some heavy knockout defeats, but he keeps coming back.
Yeah,
so sort of all credit to him, really.
Yeah, definitely.
So
yeah.
even this loss isn't gonna, you know, I'm sure he'll be back. He's come back from, you know, heavier and worse defeats, but...
He's a popular lad as well, isn't he?
He is, yeah, they loved him there.
Dave?
I'll be honest, I was going to say Derry Matthews as well, so I'm thinking on the spot here.
Again, is there anyone? He keeps coming back to boxing news.
I've had a lot of chances.
You have had a lot of chances, yeah. Mate.
Yeah. And now
they're running out quickly, nice to have an answer.
Exactly. He has had more than Audley Harrison, I don't know. It's thrown me now that John stole my answer.
Stole what?
John is a thief.
I know one man who can give us an answer to this, and I reckon it's going to be Dan.
In time out of fashion, two-part answer. First, historically, I say Henry Cooper. The back of his career, he had a lot of chances. He was a pro for 17 years. So late 50s, early 60s, he had a run of about three knockout defeats to people like Ingemar Johansson and somebody else in the European scene, and someone on the domestic scene had cut-eye defeats. He had several bad defeats in a row, Floyd Patterson or somebody, or Zora Foley, people like that.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, three or four fights in a row. He kept getting chances, and he lose fights, don't you? Even decent, but not world-class Americans, Roger Risher, people like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Foley again in a rematch. They kept bringing him back at domestic level. When he lost international level, he'd come back at domestic level. And I mean, boxing's a business. I mean, he was a personable guy. Mm. He's a white guy, he's British. I mean, he's a good talker. You know, he's a good chap, he's a decent fighter. Sold tickets, generated interest, attracted press coverage and TV viewing figures, so he kept getting more chances. And I don't regard the guy too much. I mean, he's a good fighter, Henry Cooper. Wasn't a bad person, but he did get a lot of chances over a long time. A contemporary fighter, I'd say Rocky Juarez. He's had lots of title, like four or five title fights.
And
even then, he dropped down a level. He's still getting some TV fights as an opponent. But again, he's not a bad fighter. And you can understand why he gets fights. I mean, he's a good but not great. He's a guy that people can beat.
Yeah.
So you bring him in to fight your prospects.
He's unlucky against Barrera.
Boxing's a business.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Throughout history, there's been plenty of fighters who've been unlucky. They've only had one chance and never got a second chance, never got a third chance. And Rocky Juarez has had about six or seven major fights in America on American TV, good paydays. So I'd say him.
Good luck, sir.
Joe Walcott as well. He had quite a few before he won his title, didn't he? His fourth time, I think.
Yeah, he lost four before winning fifth attempt.
Fifth attempt, wasn't it? Frank Bruno, he had a few as well before he won it.
Big time.
Big time. Okay, right. Next question. Paul Smith is scheduled to be one of the many guest stars at the Boxing News Fight Club, held at the Adelphi Hotel this Friday. He enters the ring to the classic theme tune, Real Gone Kid, by Deacon Blue. Anybody that's been there when he goes into the ring with that theme tune banging will tell you it's a special moment in Liverpool. But what would be your ring entrance theme tune? And this time we'll start with John. I'm just going to be something good here.
There's so many to choose from. It depends. If I'm trying to freak my opponent out, say if I was fighting Matt Christie, I want to get in his head.
Yeah.
I think I'd go for Katy Perry's Teenage Dream, but sung by the Warblers from Glee.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. I love Glee and Katy Perry and that song.
What, so that wouldn't get in your head? That's true. But I think I would probably go for Beastie Boys' Sabotage, because it's awesome.
Really? Okay, that's interesting. What about that one that we've all seen you jive into in Reflex?
Who doesn't love Journey? Actually, yeah, change my answer. Journey's Don't Stop Believing. Who wouldn't love that? So many. Bring Rick Astley back.
Banana Rama.
I'm not really into them, mate.
You used to be.
Okay, Dave.
Well, I'd start. It'd have a bit of a mix down in the middle, but it'd start like, you know, a Regal fanfare. Right. Fanfare for the common man I'd start with. Oh. And then your big like mega mix down into Oasis, What's the Story, Morning Glory.
Oh yes.
That's an iconic start to a song.
What is the story, Morning Glory? It's a good question.
Exactly.
Okay, nice one, Dave. Would you change your movements as you're going into the ring? All these changes in music?
Focused. Focused, just marching in there, getting the face of my opponent, let them know what's going to happen. You know, let them know they're going to be getting knocked out, and then it'd be like Mike Tyson. I would have won the fight before I'd even got in the ring. Mm. That's nice. Yeah.
I can see that, Dave. Yeah. You won the podcast before you even walked in the room.
Okay, Dan?
Straight away, I have to dismiss Danny Boy as too obvious. And I'm not particularly Irish, so. But also, for the same reasons, Jangle by Elton John. Anyway, it's not really a rocking song. So I have to go with something, nothing to do with my name or anything, just like a hard rocking song, but one that nobody else would choose, because nothing would be worse than turning up an arena with a particular theme music and then find out your opponent's got the same thing. So I've got something a bit more obscure, but still a good tune, Love and Pride by King, which is early to mid-80s. It's a really good tune.
I remember that.
It's quite long, it's a bit different.
Yeah.
So developers have air of mystery about you, and people think, well, who's this guy? And that could affect your opponent. You know, your opponent would go to the ring thinking, well, who is this guy? How good is he? You know, I never heard of him, I never heard of the song. Maybe he's much better than I thought he'd be. That could get into your opponent's head. And get in his mind before the fight starts.
I think you'd get a lot of crowd behind you with the tune like that as well.
So that's it.
That's a good one, Dan. Right, and finally, Nick, I know you've got a collective music taste, mate, so what would you go for?
Well, one of my favourite ring entrances was when De La Hoya fought Vargas.
Oh, yeah.
It came down to a Queen medley, which was topped off by The Payback by James Brown, which is a particularly good song, particularly apt at that time for them. But I'm not saying that's what I'd have. I don't know, it's difficult, as John said. I liked it when Miguel Cotto came to the ring to the White Stripes, Seven Nation Army.
The bug comes out to that.
Does it?
It's good.
That's a tune, isn't it? And Vlad has a great ring entrance, doesn't he?
Yes.
The Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
What one is it, Dave?
Can't stop, doesn't it? Yeah, that's it. Vitaly's ACDC is good as well.
Yeah, and Vitaly came down to Hotel California against Lennox, which again is a tune.
So what are you picking for yourself, Nick?
Jeez. James Bond theme tune. Nick Bond's.
Yeah, Carly Simon, Nobody Does It Better.
Oh, yes. The Mission Impossible theme tune would be quite good.
For you,
mate. Yeah, well, either of us, really.
We could come down to it together.
Right, okay, last question in this first round. Besides the announcement of BN Fight Club, this Friday, October 12th, the Delphi Hotel, starts 7 p.m, what is your favourite moment in boxing history involving Liverpool or one of its fighters? Dangerous Dave Parton. You kick this one off.
I'll be honest, I think it was when Steven Gerrard appeared in court a few years ago. When, as the video shows, he quite clearly assaulted someone but got away with it. and the judge described it as Gerard launching an attack with the speed of a boxer rather than a footballer. So I did like that one. I think I'd have to go with Gerard, yeah.
I don't know how many points we're going to give us. Good answer.
Good answer, Dave.
Good answer, Dave.
Bit tangent, you know.
I've got a serious answer if you want a serious
answer. Go on then. Another one.
I think last year when Bellew knocked out Danny McIntosh,
yeah,
I did enjoy that because I got the chance to speak to Bellew in the weeks before it and write his little diary for the website. So it was kind of a unique experience listening to what a fighter goes through from the start of a camp right through to the end. And I managed to speak to him the day after the fight when he was in the departure lounge waiting to go on holiday. So I really got a unique insight into what a fighter does in a camp there and how the emotions change and all that sort of thing. So
I was going to say, were you aware that his mood was changing from 1 week to the next?
Yeah, it was really good to be honest. And obviously Bellew was a great guy as well, really great guy to talk to.
Yeah.
And I was happy to answer any questions that I had and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was good, did enjoy that.
I like that. Dan?
Well, I've got lots of memories of Liverpool now, but I'd leave aside the pro shows, which all blends into one really. I'd say watching those old amateur international tournaments at St George's Hall, it's weird, it's like watching boxing in a church or an art gallery. It's a really splendid venue, isn't it? And they stopped using it for boxing now. But you know, about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I had these international amateur tournaments for several days. You had some Bulgarians and Ukrainians and English boxers and Scots boxers. But the ring was plonked in the middle of the St George's Hall, really ornate, some 19th century hall. It's a really weird experience. Really sticks in the mind. It's just been a really odd venue to watch boxing.
How does that compare to like York Hall and what have you in terms of?
It's a different atmosphere. Well, it's an amateur tournament instead of a pros. But generally people are very well behaved there, which is pretty unusual for a Liverpool boxing show. If that same tournament had been held in Everton Park Sports Centre, there would have been punch-ups and the police called in about 10 minutes. But just holding it in our venue sort of calmed people down in a way. It's people were so respectful there, they didn't want to damage the venue. It's a really splendid, ornate hall.
Nick?
I'd probably say amateurs as well, because the Liverpool boxers always seem to be so well supported. And their fans are the most vocal. So I'd say the Liverpool boxing fans are some of the best.
Any particular fights or amateur tournaments?
They just tend to stick in the mind more than anyone else.
Yeah.
They make the most noise.
Yeah.
And they're well supported, their boxers, and they follow them, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd say that Liverpool boxing fans.
The last few years when I've been up to Liverpool, it's always, if there's a Liverpool fighter involved, which it generally is, it's being held up there. The atmosphere's second to none.
Yeah.
Taking the whole country into account is brilliant up there.
They love their boxing,
don't they? I do. John?
I'm going to go for an amateur moment as well.
Okay.
I suppose reflects kind of strength of the amateur scene in Liverpool. I wanted to go for something I was there for, and one of the best things I've seen was Sam Maxwell beating Albert Selimov in the Olympic qualifying, which was just totally like Maxwell was kind of a controversial selection.
Yeah.
So it was totally out of the blue. He is kind of relatively very new on the international team. Selimov was like viewed as pound for pound one of the best amateurs around, best boxer in this qualifying tournament. And Maxwell unfortunately was drawn with him in his first bout, and you know, in Trabzon, which is a random bit of Turkey, and Maxwell managed to beat him. It was ridiculous, and sadly there were no Liverpool fans there. It was a pretty empty hall on the coast of the Black Sea, but it was just, you know, it was one of the more mental upsets that I've seen. Though he didn't qualify for the games in the end.
Neither did.
No, exactly.
That's a good answer, John.
Great answer, John.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, so answer, I could tell.
It's true. Yeah. I lost my composure mildly at ringside.
Okay, well, let me get my
calculator.
Has anybody got their phone so I can time a minute?
Yeah.
Great radio, this bit.
This is always the highlight of this moment. Either I'm looking for my phone or adding up scores.
What stopwatch,
Yeah.
Answering their telephone. So it's a sport, which I explain. It's a sport where people constantly complain about lack of coverage and they don't get enough press in the national newspapers or on TV or even in boxing news, they complain about it. And yet when you get hold of them or try and ring their numbers, they never answer or it goes to voicemail. I tried a box on Friday and to write a short piece on it for boxing news and the phone didn't even go to voicemail. It just rang and rang and rang for about 30 seconds. I tried in the morning, tried in the afternoon. And if you can't even leave a voicemail and say, ring me back, please, and I'll write a piece on you. And I think, how can you then complain about lack of coverage if you couldn't put your telephone on voicemail? I mean, maybe he's been kidnapped or abducted by aliens, who knows? But it'd be nice if you actually speak to the person rather than the telephone and say, I want to write a piece on you. And if he doesn't want to, or say, ring me later, fine. But just, just at least being there, get in touch. Otherwise, don't complain.
That's exactly a minute. I think we've all been through that, where we've been trying to get people on the phone.
There's a moral to that story.
There is.
Somewhere.
Right, okay. Well, Nick. Okay, hang on. Do you want to see the time while you're going? Or you just want to just...
Let's roll, yeah?
Yeah, go.
Let's roll.
Obviously, I spoke about the fans in boxing being so passionate and good, but also there's a flip side to that. Some boxing fans can be quite derogatory to their favourite boxer's opponent, which isn't particularly nice. And also, people can be quite rude about the boxers they don't like on forums, on the internet. I just don't find that particularly nice or good. I don't quite know what else to say. I mean, it's a difficult question. We all get asked it. And that's my answer.
That's what you're saying.
The time permitting.
Be good to yourselves.
Be nice to people.
Respectful.
Okay. That's good though. It's good. But things like
I think that my
the musculine face-offs and whatever, you thrive on that then.
That's good. But I think maybe to narrow it down, like the internet, people could be quite cutting on the internet about people.
It's quite easy to do that behind the keyboard, isn't it?
It doesn't sit comfortably with me.
Okay, right. John, what's getting on your nerves at the moment?
I mean, I have a very sunny disposition. Things are good.
Yeah.
Lots of good fights coming up. Fairly happy. But I saw a report that Lucas Konechny had up to no good with his gloves. Like they had some small gloves that had a label saying 10 ounce, but the other boxer's coach was suspicious and had them weighed, and they turned out to be 8 ounces. So it's just tampering with the gloves. It's just in a sport where sometimes serious things can happen. It seems just so so dangerous and so out of order. And also, how can they even why is it that the boxers team even get the opportunity to tamper with the gloves? Why can't an official just provide the gloves and they have no opportunity to touch him, until the start of the fight?
Really good answer, John.
Really?
Yeah, really. No.
All right. And your face, Dave.
That may have just launched you into the final.
Oh, God.
Okay. Dave?
Something that's annoyed me about boxing, it's gone a bit quiet recently on the war and drugs front. Like, I don't think it's much of a problem over here in the UK because the British board work alongside the UK anti-doping, and Ali Adams failed a test last week which shows it's working. But over in the States it's still quite messy and quite confused over there with all the different state commissions requiring different tests and different percentages. Like, for example, in Texas and New York, you're allowed 50% more testosterone in your system than anywhere else. That doesn't really make much sense in my eyes. And various journalists and stuff tried to ask questions over there and are ultimately stopped and banned by people who have the answers. And for years, cycling has been abused. We're all about saying about how drug-fueled it is and all that. But Like, cycling is absolute worlds ahead of boxing in terms of the testing and the and just about the education and everything about to do with drugs in the sport. And to really clean up the sport, something needs to be done sooner rather than later, I think.
Nice one, Dave. Really good answer. Your best one yet. Really impressed with that.
A lot of testosterone in your system, Dave.
I could tell. Yeah, I could tell when that started. You started speaking really quickly, right off the bat. I thought, I was going to.
I had a lot to say.
But you did have a lot to say. I was impressed.
He's a little bit over his time in it, though. He's getting penalised for that.
Well, I'm afraid. Right.
Good research as well, Dave.
Right. There's.
I'm sorry that you're homeless, Dave.
There is a tie. There's a tie here. 5-8. I'm afraid, Dave, you didn't make it to the final.
Oh no!
And I'll tell you for why.
Where did he slip up?
It wasn't really his fault, but he slipped up by not having another answer for the who's had more chances.
I wasn't prepared, was I?
And there's a lesson to be learned there.
Yeah.
And I think you'll learn it for next
time.
Come
back up.
Yeah. Okay.
In your face, part.
So the remaining three, one of you are in the final, has made it straight through. The other two are tied on 14 points. The one person who's made it through is John Dillon.
Oh, yes. There he is. Look at how happy he is.
This is my first final. I'm quite nervous now.
And Dan and Nick.
Tiebreaker?
Deadlock.
Should I let him go?
Give it public vote.
What would you have to do in the final? Is it not that ramble?
You know, you've got 30 seconds to defend the undefendable.
Dan's better at that than me. So
right.
I'll respectfully say.
Yeah, but do I want charity? Another one?
You're the rules master, man.
I know.
Well, get the gloves out.
Good. Miguel Cotto question.
Got a toss a coin.
Yeah, it's fairy to weigh in.
It's a moment of great tension. It will work well on the radio.
Let it land on the table.
Yeah. All right, what for a sound effect?
Sounds good.
Who's
heads or tails?
I'll be the tail.
All right, here we go.
Oh, he's messy. He even messed up that.
Do it again, do it on the table.
Yeah, well, I want to get a kind of flick to it. But
you can't even.
It's gone flying.
Dave, go see what it is.
Oh, heads it is.
Ooh. Heads. So who's heads?
Dan.
Heads. 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 Right. Final. Okay, so in the event that you get one, we'll come up with a better solution for next time.
Yeah, any time.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
It's not a drama.
Okay,
right.
Okay, you've got the first seat. It's
feeling the tension.
A character.
Dan can't even toss a coin.
Can you do this? Can you not stop watching all the timer, please?
What am I doing, mate?
In fact, can you time it? 30 seconds. We'll start with... We'll start with John.
Oh God.
I just
want to win so bad.
We need some dramatic music.
Okay, you ready?
I think that's it on after.
You have 30 seconds to tell me why the Floyd Mayweather Manny Pacquiao fight will definitely happen before the end of the year, starting from now.
Well, it has to. I mean, Pacquiao needs Mayweather. He was robbed against him badly. He's on the decline. If he doesn't do it, this is his last chance. If he doesn't do it now, when does he do it? Floyd, he's your 50 Cent is going to make it all happen. That's what this is all about. He's left Floyd, going over to Pacquiao. He's maneuvering between the two of them. It's all thanks to 50 Cent, because 50 Cent is the savior of boxing. He's going to make the greatest fight happen. And boxing will be the greatest sport ever.
Okay, well done, John.
Thanks.
Okay. Right, some people have said that Ricky Hatton's comeback is a gamble, but let's face it, it's not. You have 30 seconds to tell me why Ricky Hatton would beat Vladimir Klitschko if that was his comeback opponent. Start from now.
Well, the obvious reason is that Ricky Hatton could probably very easily bulk up to £250. He's probably £250 as we speak, so he wouldn't have any problem matching up. Also, Ricky's being a short guy, he's used to boxing taller people. Most of his opponents are taller than him. Whereas Klitschko, the other way around, Klitschko's totally unused to boxing people, much shorter than him. So he'd really struggle to even land a jab or a right hand on Ricky. Whereas Ricky would jump up and smash him in the face with a big left hook or a big right hand, would knock him out definitely.
Okay. Dave, how many points would you give for John's answer out of 5?
Two.
How many points did you give Dan?
5. Big answer from Dan.
Nick, any objections to you for that?
No, I agree with Dave.
Right, New Year's, Daniel Herbert. Oh.
His team
back. Mohamed Ali at the
back. He's back.
Well done, Dan. Okay, yes. Thanks everybody for being involved. Really appreciate it. And thanks everybody for listening. And just to remind you again, Boxing News Fight Club at the Adelphi Hotel in Liverpool this Friday, October the 12th. Starts at 7 p.m. Tickets are on. Call 0207 618 3461. That's 0207 618-3461. Alternatively, go to boxingnewsonline.net/fightclub for more information. Hope to see a few of you there. Get involved with all the best boxing banter at our forum, and that's forum.boxingnewsonline.net.